2 Kings, but we're going to look at 2. You'll recognize Luke chapter 2, but then we're going to be looking at 2 Kings, and we're going to be looking at chapter 6 and chapter 7. I would just challenge you. I know there's many guests here this morning. I would ask that you would just calm your heart. Ask God to calm your spirit, and let's concentrate on God's Word. Even some of the younger ones, I'd ask you to just hang in there as we're talking and looking at the Word of God this morning. I ask you not to be talking to your neighbor and knocking your neighbor. And at this time, even if you forgot to turn off your cell phone, sometimes right in the middle of a message, a cell phone goes off. And it can knock the train of thought as far as that God, the Holy Spirit, is trying to work on somebody. So I'd ask you, even pull that out, turn it off. We won't mind the shutdown noise right now, but in about 15, 20 minutes, when the noise does go off, it's very, very irritating. And so I'd ask if you would just bear with us and try to do that here this morning. Let's try to just ask the Lord to zero in on our hearts as we look at the Word of God. In Luke chapter 2, we're going to read a very familiar passage, Luke chapter 2. Before we begin, I read an article this week, about a company. It was called Hillcorp. I'm thinking of quitting and joining this company. You'll understand why in just a few minutes. This is the third year in a row that Fortune magazine has named Hillcorp one of the 100 best companies to work for. You'll understand why in just a minute. This year, they again proved that they were worthy of being one of the 100 best companies to work for because they have 1,380 employees. That's 1,380. Did you catch that? 1,380 employees. And for Christmas this year, every employee received a Christmas bonus of $100,000. Now, that's why I'm sending in a resume quickly this afternoon. $100,000. Now, that's a little Christmas bonus. I've been asking the deacons what they were going to give as a bonus this year. And it didn't matter what their position was in the company. They share the company's success. Last year, they thought it was a decent bonus because last year, every employee, 1,380, all received a new car. All right, so last year's a new car, this year's 100,000. I'm just wanting to join because I'd like to see what next year's going to be. All right, I'm going to be there. But $100,000. Now, as we think about that, many of us would say, wow, now that is a gift. But this morning, we're going to be talking about a greater gift, believe it or not. A greater gift. Because more than $100,000, yeah, I'd like to enjoy that, and so would some of you. But $100,000 will not take away your sin. It won't do it. $100,000 will not really bring you peace and happiness. Even at Christmas, you know what, in America at Christmas time, there's all kinds of celebration. A lot of it is kind of self-centered. Some of it might be giving, but some of our giving is ordered to get back. But here in this passage in Luke chapter 2, let's look at some of this as we begin. Luke chapter 2, let's start in verse 8. Starting in verse 8. Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 8. And there were, in the same country, shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. What's the good tidings? Verse 11, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Here in this passage, we look at verse 10 and verse 11. That's kind of where we're going to pull out a thought, and then we're going to look at 2 Kings. Here it says, and the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. And what is that? For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Let's open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your goodness. Thank you for Christ and what he means to us. And this morning, as we look at this idea of Jesus Christ and what he can do for us at Christmas, and not just at Christmas, it's we celebrate it at Christmas, but Lord, he came as a baby, and even as the little the kids sang, the teens and the children, as they sang, Jesus came and he was born to die upon Calvary. Jesus suffered that I might live. And I pray that we would calm our hearts, we would concentrate on the Word of God, and Holy Spirit, do what I cannot. Always ask you, and that is to speak to hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Here in this passage, we see that phrase, there is good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. So then I'm going to turn to 2 Kings. If you have your Bible, turn to 2 Kings. And you're going to think this is odd, but please bear with me. Please bear with me. And some of you are going to say, wow, this is the worst Christmas message ever. But just hang in there and we'll get to the point. 2 Kings chapter 7, there's a prophet called Elisha. Elisha came after Elijah in 2 Kings chapter 7. And in verse 1 it says, then Elisha said, hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and two measures of barley for a shekel, and the gate of Samaria. Let me just give you some instruction there. All right, as far as a shekel, most people believe that that shekel was probably, later you'll see that it's referred to as silver. And a shekel and silver, a lot of time, that was their way of paying for things. Most people believe that a shekel was probably about a third of an ounce. All right, so here in this passage, Elisha is saying, hey, tomorrow, a measure of fine flour. Most people believe that would be about two, as far as in liquid measures, that would be about 2 gallons of flour. All right, so 2 gallons, I don't know what that would translate to if you're putting it into pounds. All right, but here you have some fine flour, and they were going to pay a shekel for it, all right? A shekel, a third of an ounce, that's about $7. So $7 for a couple of gallon drums filled of flour. And a shekel or two measures of barley for a shekel. So he's giving them that, hey, things are going to cost this amount. This is what the prophet is saying. In verse 2, then a Lord, on whose hand the king leaned, answered the man of God, and this is what he said, behold, if the Lord would make a window in heaven, might this thing be? And he said, behold, this is the prophet, behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but shall not eat thereof. So here is Elisha. Elisha is in the king's palace, and the king is, he's talking to the king, and the man of God says, hey, tomorrow, and just so you know, right now, there is a famine going on in this country. A famine is going on, and it's a horrible famine. And they can't find food anywhere. And so Elisha comes in and says, hey, tomorrow there's going to be no more famine. In fact, there's going to be so much food that a couple of gallonfuls of flour are going to be sold for $6-7, and you're going to be able to get barley, lots of it. And one of the men that was sitting in the king's palace looked at the man of God and said, man, that's ridiculous. That is crazy. If God would open up the windows of heaven and pour out flour and barley, you know what? I would believe that more. And the man of God turned to him and said, you're going to look at it, but you ain't going to taste it. That's my interpretation. All right, so now in verse 3. And there were 4 leprous men at the entering in of the gate. And they said one to another, why sit we here until we die? If we say we will enter into the city, then the famine is in the city and we shall die there. If we sit still here, we die also. Now therefore come, let us fall into the host of the Syrians. The Syrians are the people that had come and had surrounded this city and they were starving it out. It was a very common thing to happen. at this time as far as when they would siege a city, they might surround it, they would cut off all the food supply, all the water supply, and they would just starve the city. Well, they had been doing this, the Syrian army had been doing this to this city. And the people were in a famine, they were starving, and here were some lepers that were outside, and they're having a discussion, and God lets us come into their discussion here. And what is their discussion? They're sitting around, and there's four of them, and they're saying, you know what? We can go into the city and there's a famine there and we're going to die. We can stay here and we're going to die. So what did they say? Now therefore come and let us fall unto the host of the Syrians. That is the enemy. Let's just go and just turn ourselves into the enemy. If they save us alive, we're going to live. And if they kill us, we're just going to die. So what is their idea? We're going to die no matter what we do. So we might as well just turn ourselves into the captains, the people that are making us captive. We might as well just throw ourselves at their mercy. And maybe it just so might happen that they feed us. So look at verse 5. Here they are. They rose up in the twilight to go into the camp of the Syrians. And then when they were come to the uttermost part of the camp of the Syria, behold, there was no man there. Are you getting the picture? Here they come into the camp, and there's nobody there. It's a ghost town. For the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots, a noise of horses, even the noise of a great host. And they said one to another, lo, the king of Israel hath hired against us the king of the Hittites and the king of the Egyptians to come upon us. Wherefore, look at verse 7, they arose and fled in the twilight. Left their tents and their horses and their asses. That's their donkeys. That's the bearer of burdens. Even the camp as it was and fled for their life. And when these lepers came to the uttermost part of the camp, they went into one tent, did eat and drink, carried the silver and gold and raiment, and went and hid it, came again, entered into another tent. And it doesn't say it, but according to what it seems like, they ate, they drank, carried in the silver and gold, grabbed it. And look at verse 9. You're going to see why we're using this verse now. Then they said one to another, we do not well. This day, look what the phrase is. This day is a day of what? Good tidings. This day is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. If we tarry till the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now therefore come that we may go and tell the king's household. This morning I want to talk to you about a day of good tidings. And the shepherds, remember the angels came to the shepherds and they said, we bring you tidings of great joy. And here you see in the Old Testament, there's some lepers that are outside. And there's a famine going on. And let me just explain to you quickly about this idea of leprosy. And I think you'll see why we can apply it to this day and age. According to a Bible dictionary, let me explain to you what a leper was. The disease began with little specks, normally about the eyelids. Sometimes it was on the palms of the hands. Gradually, it spread over different parts of the body. It would bleach the hair. It would crust the affected part of the skin with shiny scales. It caused swelling and sores. From the skin, it slowly ate its way through the tissue. It would eat its way to the bones and joints, even to the marrow. It would rot the whole body piece by piece. The lungs, the organs of speech and hearing, and the eyes were attacked in turn, till at last death came upon somebody that had leprosy. There are pictures of people, there's not much leprosy in today's day and age. But you can look up and you can see that there are some places that have leprosy. And if you look up those people that still have leprosy, you can see the leprosy attacks cartilage even. So in between your fingers, it's attacking that cartilage. Your nose, believe it or not, now I have a lot of cartilage on my nose. All right, there's a whole bunch right there. But your nose is attacked. Your ears are attacked. There's a lot of things that are attacked. And it's even, there's picture of people that have leprosy and they have no nose. It's just a cavity. It was a gross thing to have leprosy. And according to historians and according to doctors, leprosy could be carried on even to the fourth generation by hereditary. It was in the genes, it could be passed down for up to four generations. So imagine these guys, they're lepers. And if you read the Jewish law, here's a group of lepers and they're in the they're in a town of the Israelites, a Jewish town. And if you had leprosy, you weren't allowed to be inside the town. All right, part of that was the grotesqueness of it. Part of it was because it was unclean. In fact, during Jewish times, you can read about this even during the time of Christ. And the time of Christ is at least 1,500 years, we believe, probably 1,000 years later than this. So here you have these lepers, and they had to wear special rags about them. They had to, part of their clothing had to be ripped, showing that they were lepers. They had to be outside, and if they happened to need, if they needed to walk into a town, they'd have to yell, "Unclean! Unclean!" so that everybody could get away from them. You getting a picture of the lepers here? Leprosy was not something that you wanted at all. It was not something that you desired to have. It would be a curse if leprosy, if you caught that leprosy, if it was found in your system. Man, if you were a leper, all of a sudden that was a curse upon you. Now let me explain something as far as leprosy. Think about this. Leprosy was something that you were born with. Listen up here. Leprosy was something that you were born with. And guess what the Bible compares to leprosy? The sin of man. The sin of man. And this is what I can tell you as we're thinking about these lepers here. I'm in a similar situation, and so are you. Because the Bible says all have sinned. All have sinned. Now what is the Bible telling us? The Bible is saying that we were born as sinners. Do you understand what that means? I have this disease. The disease is that I was born as a sinner. I'm a leper. I'm outside the camp. I'm not welcome. And according to the Bible, when a leper, and even history, when a leper had leprosy, all right, that leprosy, he was separated from people. So he's born with this. Please be quiet. All right, listen, ma'am. All right, if you need to, hop out. But we're trying to speak from the Word of God. Listen. Hello. Ushers. Can we help? All right, let's pay attention to the Word of God here. Now here we have leprosy. What's leprosy a picture of? All right, you guys help me. All right, let's not watch over there. Let's listen, and you guys help me here. What's leprosy a picture of spiritually? Sin. So here we have sin. And you and I are born the same way. We're born as a spiritual leper. What does that mean? It's nasty, it's disgusting, it's horrible. It's not something that anybody wants to have, but you know what? I'm born this way, and so are you. You're born as a leper. And I sit outside of the city, and man, I hear that there's a death sentence against my city. I can't go in there. And yet here are these lepers, and they say, you know what? The enemy is out there. They may have some food. So I might as well, I'm going to die. I'm dying as a leper, and these guys have a, there's a famine on my city. I might as well go to the enemy out here, and I might as well just jump in there, throw myself at their mercy, and just say, you know what, if you're going to kill me, go ahead, because I have a death sentence on me. But it just could be that they give me some food. And you know what happened to these lepers? They went to that tent dwelling, because here is an army and they had all their tents set up. They had all of their armies were set up. They were ready. They were ready to destroy the city. They had starved them out. They're just waiting for them to starve, and then they're going to come in and ravage the city, take all the spoils. But God made noise of chariots, noise of horses be sounded out to the enemy. And so the enemy said, hey, they got a bunch of people coming, and they fled. And so the lepers run into this, they come running into the tents, and it's a ghost town. It's empty. And what did the lepers say? Look at verse 8 again. When the lepers came to the uttermost part of the camp, they went into the tent, and they did eat, and they drank, and they carried thence silver and gold and raiment, and went and hid it, and came again and entered into another tent, carried thence also, and went and hid it. Look at verse 9. Then they said one to another, we do not well. This is a day of good tidings. So the dilemma of the lepers was that they were sick, they were separated, they were starving. The reason I use that on this Christmas morning is because that's exactly my condition, and it's exactly your condition. You were sick? What? We were born sinners. Born sinners. You know, the Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says, the psalmist said, in iniquity was I born. In iniquity. So here I am. I'm a sinner. I'm sick. I'm separated. What's separating me from God? What's separating me? Why can't I just have heaven? I'm a good person. I try to do good things. I even put some offering in the offering plate. I should be able to get to heaven. I mean, there's people worse than me. No, there's a separation. What separates me from God? My sin. Sin separates me from God. You see, in God, God is holy and He's righteous and He's just. He can't handle the presence of sin around Him. And that's why even when God's own Son, Jesus Christ, was on the cross and sin was placed upon Jesus Christ, God the Father turned His back and He could not even bear to see His Son with sin. How do I know that? Because my Jesus cried out as He's there, His hands outstretched on that cross, and He said, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? God the Father cannot handle sin in His presence. And so you know what that means? Because I'm a leper, and because you are, we cannot be in God's presence. See, I'm sick. I've been separated from God, and I'm starving. Physically, nah. Spiritually, I'm starving. There's a hunger there in my soul, and there's a famine. And spiritually, I have no sustenance. I have nothing to feast upon. But then I come to the Word of God, and Jesus said, I am the bread of life. And I can partake of Jesus, and my soul is fed. I'm starving. But then you see the decisions of the lepers. You see them deciding. See them departing there in this chapter. And then they discovered something. You know what the lepers discovered? They discovered refreshment. They discovered riches. And this is what I can tell you this morning. I was looking at it this morning in the hymn book. And I found a hymn that kind of goes along with this idea, because when I was a leper and I was diseased and that sin was there and that curse of sin was upon me, I came to a place where I found refreshment and I found riches. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 1, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. In chapter 2 it says that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. In Ephesians 3 verse 16, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. What is the Bible telling you and I? That there are riches, there's refreshment when we come to Jesus. The hymn goes like this: down at the cross where my Savior died, down where for cleansing from sin I cried, there to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name. I am so wondrously saved from sin. Jesus so sweetly abides within. There at the cross where He took me in. Glory to His name. Then it says, come to the fount so rich and sweet. Cast thy poor soul at the Savior's feet. Plunge in today and be made complete. Glory to His name. You know what the Bible is telling you this morning? You might be a leper, and all of us, I believe, are born in that leprosy. Leprosy, again, is a spiritual picture of sin, and all of us were born in sin. There is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that doeth good. We don't deserve heaven. We deserve to be doomed to an awful place called hell. We should be separated from God. But amazingly, God in His mercy provided a way of salvation for you and I. We can be, if you read in the Old Testament, they always use a term for leprosy. It is the word cleansed. And being cleansed, it's not necessarily the same as being healed. It's just a little bit different of a term. And the Bible says that Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sins. And this morning, you may have walked in here as a spiritual leper. I was a spiritual leper. But at one time, I found Jesus. And Jesus is the only one that can save your soul. Jesus is the only one that can cleanse you of that leprosy. What is that leprosy? It's something you're born with. It's something that separates you from God. It's something that starves your spiritual soul. And there's nothing that you can do to get rid of that leprosy. But Jesus Christ can touch you and make you whole. Jesus in the New Testament, in the Gospels, there was a couple of times that a leper was there, and just by Him touching, just by Him speaking, they were made whole. They were cleansed from their leprosy. But you notice here in this passage with these lepers that they said one to another, "We do not well." Now, what is that in our vernacular? We do not well. I do not think only Dr. Mitchell speaks that way. Most of us do not sit here and we're talking about something and somebody comes up to you and you say, "I do not well today." No, only Dr. Mitchell talks that way. The rest of us normal Americans. What is he saying? This ain't good. This ain't good. All right, what's bad? What are they saying? This is a day of good tidings. And we hold our peace. And that's why I thought of it as a good Christmas message. Why? Because you know what I know? I was a leper, a spiritual leper. And Jesus came and he cleansed me of my leprosy. There was nothing I could do. Only Jesus could save my soul. I couldn't earn my way to salvation. I could pile up all kinds of good works. But the Bible says all those good works are just filthy rags. Because there's nothing good in you. I can't earn my way to heaven. I could come to church all I want. But it's not going to get me to heaven. I could give my wealth to all the poor. But that's not going to buy me salvation. I was a spiritual leper. But at one point, I found Jesus. And there's many here in this auditorium. We found Jesus. And he cleansed our leprosy. He made us completely whole. And then all of a sudden we're looking around and it's like those lepers in the tent. Man, we are refreshed. We are healed. We got riches untold. We got all of this. But pause as a Christian. Because you ain't doing well. Why? Because at Christmas you should be telling others of the Savior. You should be telling others about this Jesus that was born in Bethlehem. This Jesus that came down here and he sacrificed, he set aside his glory. He didn't set aside his deity, just so you know that. Oh no, he was still all God in that manger. He was still all God, but he set aside his glory. He didn't set aside his deity. He was still God, and here was God in flesh. I don't understand how he can be all God and all man, but God was able to accomplish that. And at Christmas, we celebrate Jesus coming down to this earth. And what did he do? His purpose. By the time he was 30 years old, he was focused. He was zeroed in on that purpose. What was that purpose? Somebody asked him. Well, why are you here? I have come to seek and to save that which was lost. I was lost. I was unclean. I had to yell out through the streets, unclean, unclean. But then Jesus found me. And he cleansed my leprosy. Some of you found that. As a Christian, you found that cleansing. You've come to Jesus and you sing out glory to his name. But are you proclaiming it to others and saying, come to this fount so rich and sweet. Cast thy poor soul at the Savior's feet. Are you crying out to others at Christmas saying, come to Jesus? I know you're starving. I know you're sick. I know you're diseased. But I know somebody that can cleanse you from this leprosy. Turn from your sin. Cast your poor soul at the Savior's feet. Are you willing to do that? The lepers here, they were kind of selfish, weren't they? They were silent. But then all of a sudden, they remembered. And they recognized. You know, we've seen a lot of changes over the last 100 years. Even during Christmas time. We've come from mail being delivered by Pony Express on horses, to regular mail being delivered by cars, to air mail delivered by jet aircraft, and now even to email. You can just send an e-card. A letter that used to take days to be delivered can now be electronically delivered in seconds. But you know, even though it's a lot of things have changed, something has not. And that is that it's still Jesus Christ that saves the soul. That has not changed, even though there are a lot of things that are different in our day and age from 100 years ago or 500 years ago or 1,000 years ago. There is still the good tidings of great joy. And what's the good tidings of great joy? We read it there in Luke chapter 2. It was that a Savior is born. Why do you need a Savior? What is a Savior? It is you need a Savior because you can't save yourself. I need a Savior because there's nothing I can do to get to heaven. So have you found the Savior? At Christmas, we celebrate our Savior's birth. There was a little 5-year-old boy. His name was Billy. And Billy was showing his Christmas presents to his grandma. And grandma looked at Billy and said, "Hey, did you get everything you wanted for Christmas this year?" And Billy thought for a moment. And he said, "No, I didn't, Grandma. But that's okay because it wasn't my birthday." You know what? It's Christ's birthday we're celebrating. It's Christ's birthday we're celebrating. It's not about you getting all you want. It's not about you, "Oh man, I'm so happy and merry at Christmas." Why is Christmas? Why should it be merry? Because we remember the day of good tidings. And that day of good tidings was there many thousands of years ago. It was there in Bethlehem when the angels came to the shepherds and they say, "Hey, there is good tidings of great joy." And what's the great joy? That a Savior is born. That Savior can save your soul. He can cleanse your leprosy. That which you were born with. That which you are stuck with. That which you have to proclaim, "I am unclean." But Jesus Christ, when you meet Him, and when you understand that Jesus' blood was shed so that your sin, your leprosy could be cleansed, it could be taken away. When you understand that, then Jesus Christ can save you. You understand we're sinners? Do you understand that we need to repent of that sin? Then guess what? Come to this fountain, so rich and sweet. Plunge in today and be made complete. At Christmas, we should be proclaiming the good tidings of great joy. What is that? That Christ, the Savior, is born. Heads bowed, eyes closed here this morning. Heads bowed, eyes closed. We tried to proclaim what the angels said in Luke chapter 2. It says, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." How is it with you? Are you like those lepers? Are you like those lepers? The difference with those lepers in that story in the Old Testament is that, according to what I read, they still had leprosy. Even though they physically had food, and although they physically had riches, and although they physically were taken care of, they still were left with their leprosy. I'm not talking about your physical needs this morning. Those lepers, their physical needs were met and they said, "We do not well. We need to share this with others." But I'm talking about spiritual leprosy, and spiritual leprosy will not just make you die here physically. Spiritual leprosy will make you end up in hell. And hell is not just a cuss word. Hell is a real place. It's mentioned in the Bible. The devil has made a mockery of hell because he wants you to make light of it. Hell is a literal place where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. It's not some place you want to go to. But Jesus Christ made a way of escape. Will you accept Jesus this morning? If you're sitting here this morning, I tried to be as clear as possible, but you know, we can't tell you everything about salvation on a Sunday morning. But the Holy Spirit might have been convicting you and pricking you. That pricking, as we call it, it's a little poke, little prodding. It seems like pinching. That's the Holy Spirit. And this morning, He may have been convicting you and saying, "You know what? You've never trusted Christ as your Savior. You've never trusted in Christ. You've been trusting in works. You've been trusting in going to church. You've been trusting in your things. I'm telling you, that will not cleanse you of leprosy. Christ has to do that. And if God convicted you this morning in this area of salvation, you say, I have never trusted Christ as my Savior. I'd like to pray for you as we close. Is there somebody like that this morning? You'd slip up your hand. Would you have the courage to slip up your hand this morning, either in the balcony or on the main floor or on the wings? You'd slip up your hand and say, you know what? God convicted me in this area of salvation. I know. All right, thank you. In the balcony. Anybody else? You'd slip up your hand. Anybody else? You'd say, you know what? God convicted me in this area of salvation. I'm not going to try to embarrass you. I just would like to pray for you. Is there anybody else? You say, God convicted me. All right, thank you. Anybody else? All right, thank you. All right. Anybody else, you'd slip up your hand. Say, God convicted me. I understand that I'm born with this leprosy. It's sin, and we're talking spiritually now. But God can save you. That's why Jesus Christ came. You'd say, God convicted me. Is there somebody else, you'd slip up your hand? There's been a few. You'd slip up your hand. All right? Anybody else? Anybody else, you'd slip up your hand. God convicted you in this area of salvation. Now, as we close in prayer, my prayer will not get you saved. That is something you must do yourself. We have a time of invitation. Invitation is where people can come and God's dealt with them. And in the area of salvation, we try to have somebody talk to you further about what salvation is. It's not something we can do for you. It is a personal decision. It's between you and God. And so when we have the music playing, we ask you to step out and come down front, take one of the men by the hands, and they will guide you to somebody that can show you from the Word of God how you can be saved. It may be during the invitation you're a Christian and God spoke to you because you have been ungrateful about what God has done for you. You've been holding it in, and like those lepers, you have been not doing well. You haven't shared Christ with anybody during Christmas. You're selfish. God has taken so good of you, care of you. He's given you riches. He's given you that refreshment. He's taken care of you. You are saved. You're on the way to heaven. And you're going to hold it in. And God convicted you and said, you know what? Share that with somebody. Let's stand with our heads bowed and eyes closed. We're going to pray in just a moment. And if God dealt with you in that area of salvation, I would ask you to step out as the piano and organ play. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for these folks that you convicted in the area of salvation. I would ask that you would help them to have the courage to step out during this invitation time. Lord, there may be others that are thinking about salvation. It's unclear to them. Lord, we can't present everything about salvation in this morning service. But Lord, we'd like to show them Jesus. We'd like to show them what Jesus did. And how that he died for their sins and that he took their payment. It was a substitution. Lord Jesus was perfect. He was holy. There was no reason for him to die. But he died in their stead, in their place. Thank you, Lord, for doing that for us. And we thank you for this time of year that we can celebrate Jesus coming and giving us a way of salvation. Bless the invitation in Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.